Welcome to the Sleep Talking series, where we have honest conversations with parents and professionals about their babies and children's sleep. Sleep is such a hugely important part of our lives, for our health, little ones' development, and our all-round well-being and happiness. When babies come along, our sleep is temporarily disrupted, but too many people let this deprivation continue on for many months or years, when in fact, it could be much better much sooner. Let's hear from those who know. Here we go with this episode of Sleep Talking. So today on the podcast, we are joined by the wonderful Ruth Crilly. She runs a hugely successful blog and website, which she started in 2010 and Model Recommends. She's an entrepreneur and a mum of two, a four-year-old and a three-year-old. And now she's venturing into the world of apps. Ruth has launched the Nightfeed app. And Ruth, tell us a little bit about the Nightfeed app and how that all works and how's it going?
It's great. Thanks for having me, Lucy. This is brilliant.
You're welcome. Great to have you.
Yes. Well, I feel like most of the time that we speak, it's about me not being able to get one of my children to sleep. So it's quite refreshing to have a normal conversation with you where we're not talking over something. So I have launched the Nightfeed app, and actually just recently it's sort of relaunched because when it launched in September, it was very much a soft launch to see how people used it and what they wanted to see more of and just how people would actually use it. So their journey from entering the app and then what they would do with it. And so it's pretty much been completely rebuilt since September. And now it's sort of, I don't want to say perfect, but it's as close to perfect in my eyes. And so I'm really, really proud of it. And for people who haven't used it or haven't seen it, it's an app for new mums who are up in the night feeding their baby, feeling really sort of isolated and alone, and maybe slightly annoyed and frustrated that they're the only person, at least it feels like they're the only person that's awake. And you know, it's so hard, it's so repetitive. You're feeding, then 2 hours later you've just shut your eyes, then the baby wants to feed again. And so I always wanted, when I had my second baby, I just thought, wouldn't it be amazing if there was a place for me to go that felt like I was sort of cocooned by other people having the same experience. So other people who are up feeding their babies. And so there's content that's relevant to people with new babies. There are chat rooms. There's a feed timer so you can remember either how much bottle your baby last fed, drank, or which boob you last fed with. So really important kind of details that you just forget when you're really tired. And you can record it all into a chart, which is really nice to look back on. And we have sleep sounds, so white noise sounds, if you find those help to get your baby back to sleep. I found they actually helped me to get back to sleep as well.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
So it's like this all-in-one SOS sort of mum survival kit for getting through the night feeds, really.
I think also I love the tracking because it helps you to see the progress, because when you're in it, it feels like forever, but actually you start to see the progress, you start to see the patterns, and I think that's really reassuring.
I remember with my first baby I didn't, and I just used to think, I have quite literally been feeding her from 7 o'clock in the evening until 5 o'clock this morning. What's that all about? But actually, when you start writing down or recording in an app exactly when they fed, you realize that maybe you've had a little bit more sleep than you thought, and that is comforting. It's comforting to know that, especially as the feeds get less frequent, it's nice to see the light at the end of the tunnel, I think, isn't it?
Definitely. And it's, I think anything that you keep an eye on like that, it gives you a real perspective, and it also helps you to spot things if you need to make changes, or you can spot things like, oh, baby's not feeding so efficiently there. Is that more of a pacifying, you know, feed, and that's a really good feed, and you know, you can always sort of navigate your way a bit better when you've got that information, and not knowing that knowing that you're not alone, I think, is a big part of the app, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are so many new mums on there sharing advice, sharing tips. And it's not even, I mean, because everyone's normally just in it together. But even when you're on your second or third or fourth baby, it's always a different experience. So everyone on there is sort of feeling their way and just supporting one another, which is so lovely to see.
Definitely. A place of kindness and compassion. That's what we like. Yeah. Definitely. So, I mean, I've popped in there too when I've seen all the sleep questions that come up, and love helping people out, giving them a steer on there as well, which is, you know, a great feeling to be able to contribute in that way.
Yeah.
How have you found the journey of sleep with your children? Have there been any particular tricky ages or stages, do you feel?
Yeah, I think so. But the thing is, my first was amazing. And I was just so not into doing anything to do with routine, or I was just really going with the flow, mainly through slight sort of laziness in a way, because we were doing so many other things at the same time, like renovating a house. And I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to go with this. And it wasn't actually until she was about 6, 7, even 8 months old, I started actually thinking, right, I'm going to get a bit of a routine to my day. And actually I got her, she wasn't sleeping through the night till 8 months. She was waking up every few hours. And then just one night I forgot to turn her baby monitor on. And I moved her into her own room and I just didn't hear her. And she must have only cried, otherwise my husband would have heard. But she must have only cried for a couple of minutes. And then I think she just fell asleep and she slept through to the morning. And it was just such a revelation. I was like, oh my God, well, she didn't need to be getting up in the middle of the night at all. I was just enabling it. And so with that in mind, when I had my second, I was really like, okay, I'm going to watch for the signs. I'm going to do this properly. But every time he cried, I was so petrified he would wake her up. And I was so tired, I couldn't handle the thought that I mean, before I spoke to you, I think he was about a year old then. I just was having, I was feeding him sort of every 2 hours through the night. And then we switched to a bottle to try and get him back to sleep. And so he would drink like 4 bottles through the night and then nothing in the day. And it was just a nightmare. So I think it's true to say, you know, every baby, you're just relearning, you know, you're
absolutely
just a relearning.
It can be first, second, third, fourth, fifth, it doesn't matter, they're all so different, and you know, the same parenting style, everything can be the same, but the child can be completely different and need something different from you, a different approach. I love the way with your first year you mentioned about you forgot to put the monitor on, and I think that there's such a common thing that we particularly with a first child, we're so almost jumpy, the slightest squeak or rustle and we're on our toes, we're like, must fix this and make everything okay. And sometimes that sort of going, we almost go in too much, or we overly fuss or tend to them when they're actually okay, they're just having a wriggle and or a dream or sorting themselves out. And I always find it fascinating when people report that, you know, the baby went and spent the night at the grandparents and slept through, but they don't do that at home, and it's because the grandparents don't hear them, and they're not tuned in the same way that a mother's ear is tuned to hear the slightest squeak and we go rushing in. So that's really interesting, that one night without the monitor and it changed everything.
And I remember thinking, when I have second baby, when I was pregnant with him, I remember thinking, right, I'm gonna remember all of the things I told myself, like, don't run for every single cry, you know, sometimes they're overtired, they don't want to be picked up, so don't always like pick them up, and if they're crying, like, just try putting them down for a while. I just forgot it all totally.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, like you just said, it might not have been the right response for him. Just because it was for number one doesn't mean it necessarily is for number two. You might have needed a different approach. So it's so fascinating. I mean, I find the topic so fascinating, and there's always another developmental stage or something else that happens to just keep us on our toes throughout time. How are they doing now? Are they both sleeping really well?
Yeah, but I don't want to jinx it. So I'm actually...
You don't want to jinx it.
Yeah, they're doing really well. And now, I mean, we really do have a set routine, which I think is easier since they've got a bit older. But also I try not to let... My husband loves sort of riling them up from about 6 o'clock onwards, and they go to bed at 7. And yeah. I always have to tell him, just stop doing it, because it's just so high energy. They'll do like Tickle Monster Club, and they'll all be piling on top of each other. Then they do a race up the stairs to see who can be first to get to brush their teeth. And I'm like, can you stop? Because they're just completely wired by the time they go to bed. So I have to keep him in check, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're pretty good otherwise.
It's a common one, the whole Daddy Disneyland scenario. Yeah. When they come home, well, I know lots of people are at home at the moment, but they come home from work, and after Mum's exhausted, they take over, and it's all with the best intentions and lots of fun, loving, playful energy. But yeah, you see Mum's eyes rolling, going, oh no, I've got to calm these down again now. So yeah, it's meant well.
Yeah.
And so, have there been any tips that anybody has given you, and a fellow mum or anything I said, or just anything that you think that was so, so useful? Anything particular that you can think of?
I mean, I think it's so different with baby number one, baby number two.
Yeah.
I remember being told by so many people when I had Angelica, look, just enjoy it and enjoy the snuggles with her, and you know, even though you're so tired and you're being woken up all the time, just enjoy that time, because it will pass so quickly. And it really does. I mean, they're just, I can't even remember, I can remember the baby years, but you know, it's just, they're gone, the babies have gone. And I think when you do think, when you just constantly remind yourself that it has a time limit on it, you know, it's just a phase, and you have to try and enjoy each phase, because if you are always waiting for a phase to be over, it just rushes past and that's it, it's gone. So I found that really useful. And I think the turning point for me was when I spoke to you about Ted not sleeping, and you were like, you know, you did it with Angelica by accident and just let her get on and soothe herself back to sleep, but you need to try and do it with Ted, you know, because he doesn't need to be feeding all the way through the night. And it was just having the support of someone to tell me what I knew already.
Yeah.
But just to spell it out, so that I think sometimes as a parent, you're so close to the situation and you're living and you're breathing that problem. And you're so tired that you just don't know how to make that step to pull yourself out of it. And you having somebody that is in a position of sort of authority is just so comforting, because you think, okay, I can do this now. I've been told to do it, and that is what I'm going to do. And it just makes it so much easier to sort of make a positive stand and change the way things are. So yeah,
it gives you confidence, doesn't it? Because I think we second guess ourselves so much with every aspect of parenting. You know, every decision we make is that the right decision? Should I say yes or should I say no to this? And you know, I think we're constantly wondering whether we're doing the right thing. And I don't doubt that sometimes we get it right and sometimes we get it wrong. But like you say, when somebody else can say, you've got this, keep going with that, it is the best thing, and it just, like you said, it's that reassurance, okay I can do it then. Like a PT that says drop and give me 20 and you just do it.
It's
accountability, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But you know, I think sleep is such a difficult one, isn't it, because it's the one that actually affects you the most physically. Yeah. And
mentally.
Yeah, and I know on the app, you know, the threads on sleep are always the ones with the most replies, and really they're the ones that always shoot to the top as well, because so many people are looking at them. And it is just one of those things as a new mum, you know, when am I, will I ever sleep again? Is this actually normal to get this little sleep? Yeah, you know, yeah, it is.
Yeah, and I don't think anything can prepare you for that, because you hear, I think, before being a parent, you hear this thing about, oh, you're not going to sleep again for a while, and you just think, well, I know, I just thought, oh, okay, whatever. Like, you just, I think you're almost in that bubble of excitement about the first baby, and well, certainly I know that's how I felt. They just, I almost thought, well, we'll see, whatever. I didn't realise just quite how detrimental sleep deprivation can be, and how serious it really is. And you know, some people don't. They don't suffer it. They don't get it. They're very lucky. They have little ones that are pretty easygoing, and sleep isn't a big pain for them. So I don't think it impacts everybody equally at all. But I think for some, it's absolutely horrendous, and it can destroy families. It's not nice at all, which is obviously why I do what I do. But
And so much sort of unhelpful information as well. I remember the amount of people that told me, oh, just give them a bottle, for God's sake. Stop being such a martyr. You know, give them a bottle and they'll sleep through. I was like, well, that doesn't actually really help me, you know.
That's like sticking a Band-Aid over it, isn't it? It's not going to solve the problem.
And it didn't even. So, you know, okay. I was just back to square one, but with really sore, engorged boobs, you know, like the milk was stuck inside of. So, I think it's so great that every year there is just so much more information out there, and so many more different ways of people sharing their information. You know, if you look back kind of 10 years, I remember when I was really struggling to get pregnant, and I trying to find information about infertility online. And there were resources, and then there would be sort of the odd thread on like NetMums or something like that, and there would be people commenting, but it was really difficult to join experts. It was really difficult to access an expert, basically. You know, social Instagram wasn't really, I don't even know if it was around.
I think it was around.
But, you know, now you've got, you know, amazing sort of skincare formulators, for example, talking to consumers who want to know something about an ingredient that's in a face cream. Or you've got like a leading cancer doctor, for example, that might be there doing a live Q&A answering questions for people that, you know, are too embarrassed to go to their doctor with symptoms of something that they've got. And you've got all of these ways that people are being joined to A, other people who empathize with them and are having the same experience, but B, people that can actually help. And they're so easily accessible. Like, for example, people can just go to your page on Instagram and just chat to you. And even though obviously that's your business, and you know, people can actually book a consultation, like, you're always there answering questions from people. You've been on the app answering questions for people. And I just think that that information and that the accessibility of people that can help is so important, and so much better for new mums who are just lost, you know, lost in a sea of not really knowing what they're doing.
And I think with that accessibility, it's amazing, and I like to think, and hopefully it will force the quality of that information to be good quality, or at least for people to be able to access a range and decide for themselves what suits them, because that's the thing. You can go into Google. I always say Google is the place where you will find whatever answer you're looking for.
Whether
you want a good or a bad, you'll find it. So it's then being able to sift through and go, oh, okay, yes, this resonates, this makes sense to me. And I think that's what that gives us, that accessibility to that broad spectrum of different ideas and different people, so you can find the right fit. Does that make sense? So how about over this past crazy strange time we've had this year with the whole COVID pandemic, have you seen any changes at home or via your audience and network in terms of people's sleep, or the effects on it? Has there been anything that's spiked or that you've seen at all, or has it
I think adults without brand new babies seem to be sleeping a lot better from, you know, people that I've spoken to and people that I look, you know, follow on social media. I mean, on the app, things really haven't changed that much, because I think that when you have a new baby, you're sort of in a bubble anyway. Yeah. And I know that from a few people that I've spoken to, they've said, look, you know, actually it's been really good because I've been in this baby bubble, but I know that everyone else is on lockdown and they're in their own type of bubble. So yeah. In a way, it feels like everybody's sort of got a new baby in yeah. that they're not really going anywhere either. And, you know, people have got their kids at home and they're tired, and it's a whole new, it's almost threw everybody into a whole new phase of yeah. life. And so I think for loads of women, that's been quite comforting. But there's been an increased anxiety over sort of giving birth in lockdown, understandably. Mm. And then, you know, not having any kind of support network, physical support network, whereas normally you'd have your new baby and then, you know, you'd have your family maybe come and help you out or something, you know, yeah. something would give. And you would hopefully have some kind of help. But that's sort of been removed for most women. Mm. And so I think that's been difficult. But in terms yeah. of sleep differences, I mean, we've actually been quite good here.
Yeah.
I think that it's almost been the best it's been for Excellent. A few years. But maybe yeah. that's because they feel really secure or...
Yeah.
I'm not sure. What would you say?
Well, I think we've been so lucky here with the weather. And that means, and you've got plenty of outdoor space, haven't you, like me? Yes. So I mean, our children can get outside, they can get that exposure to daylight. You've got your routine like I have. So they still have that routine and rhythmicity. So it hasn't messed up their body clocks or their circadian rhythms. They're, you know, they're little, so they're still using enough energy in the day and they're getting their sleep at night. And I think that, yeah, that makes total sense. I think it's more families that are, or that have been stuck indoors, either due to weather or just where they lived or where they live or where they're based, but being stuck inside more and getting less daylight time, daylight exposure, sunlight, that's had an impact on melatonin production, the sleepy hormone. And that's caused some implications. We've seen children waking in the night and being wired, just wide awake, and waking early in the morning. And I think the other one I've seen quite a lot of, but then that's because they're coming to me for this, but is caused by kind of a passive stress. So where you've got parents that are tense or stressed or worried, which I'm sure there aren't many parents that haven't had some degree of angst over what's been going on, whether it's to do with health or livelihoods, careers and so on. But little ones pick up on that. And so there's been a little bit of that almost passive stress energy going through, which has caused some cortisol spiking, which usually means waking up in the night, to be honest. So we've seen some of that coming our way from parents, you know, reaching out for help. Personally, with my two, they've been great, but like you, good routine, outside time every day, those things definitely help. I have had to watch it though with the homeschooling, because it means added screen time. Their eyes yeah. are on screens a lot more. And so, yeah, that's a challenge, I have to say. That's definitely a challenge.
And the screen time when you just want to get on with doing something. So you're like, well, yeah, movie afternoon.
Yeah, well, it definitely, and I think with littler ones like yours, that's almost the go-to, isn't it? It's like, right, I just need to send some emails, so let's put some children's programs on for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, understandably, we all have to keep functioning. But no, I think like you, I feel quite lucky that it hasn't impacted my children's sleep, but I've seen a lot of people that it has. On the other hand, there's also been lots of parents saying, this has been a brilliant time to actually work on the routine and the sleep, because they're not having to dash out for school runs or commutes for work and so on. So they've been able to dedicate some time to actually focusing on it and taking action with it. So there's the plus side, I suppose.
Every cloud.
There you go. But it's been a reveal, I've noticed, you know, lots of parents where they perhaps didn't realize that their little one wasn't able to, say, settle to sleep for a nap. They were relying on that walk to the shop or the school run or whatever in the pushchair or something like that. And then this all happened and suddenly, like, I can't get my child to nap. What's going on? I've tried a few laps in the pushchair, but it's not working. What happened? And it's highlighted the fact that they haven't actually quite refined that skill yet and developed that skill yet. So that's been interesting. It's definitely been an interesting time.
Hopefully at an end.
Yes, fingers crossed. It's got to, at least, even if it's not an end, a massive improvement would be, you know, certainly a good place to be. But yeah, I think everything's cyclical, isn't it? And out of the bad, surely will come some good, and we'll all get back to something.
I feel like I've actually, I was so scared at first. I don't know why I was scared. I think scared of giving up. Time is so precious when you're a parent, isn't it? There has just been absolutely no time for just self-preservation and to do anything on my own that I enjoy. And at first I was like, well, this just isn't fair. This can't possibly be happening. You know, they'd only been in school and nursery for a term. So it was literally the first time in 5 years that we had any time without an empty house. Yeah. And, you know, I could just sort of work, or if I didn't want to work, we could go for lunch. It was just amazing. And really, I felt sort of made everything so much more easy to handle. You know, if it was difficult or if we were struggling to know how to deal with a certain challenge with them, then it would make it easier because you had that time off. And then, we had a term and a half, and then bang, it was just gone. And I just thought, this is just not fair. Please give me back my freedom that I had briefly had. But actually, I think we're so adaptable, aren't we? And we just... you know, well, this is the way it is, so you have to get on with it. And after a couple of weeks of intense sort of moaning about, you know, how the hell are we going to get anything done, we just resigned ourselves to really not doing very much at all, and fitting it in the evenings and around them watching a film or whatever. And I've actually really enjoyed myself in a way. I kind of feel like, why have I worked so hard for the past 10 years trying to do 70-hour weeks or whatever you do when you're building a business, and you're just manic and you never switch off from it. I did think, oh, well, maybe I should have cut down, you know, years ago when I had the kids and just enjoyed it a bit more. But at
I
the same
time, I completely agree.
It's, I don't know, it's a hard balance, isn't it? It's that eternal work-life balance guilt thing.
I remember when mine were at nursery, and I was actually building a different business at the time, and I remember feeling like, oh, if I just gave them one more day a week at nursery, that day could be for me to sort, you know, the house out, myself out, like all these other things. 3 days of work, one day of just sorting all the other stuff out. That was my theory. But it doesn't work like that, does it? We will fill exactly however much time we give ourselves. And, you know, you obviously had that newfound freedom when you had those bits of time with them at school and nursery, and then it's taken away from you, and the instant reaction is, huh? And it's like when we excuse me, when people go through you know, nights of massive disturbed sleep, and then all of a sudden they're sleeping through the night, and it's like, oh, this is bliss. Then, you know, a few weeks later, a little one's sick or something, they get disturbed in the night, and they're like, oh gosh, I can't believe I was waking up last night. It's always that we get spoilt by a good thing, and then when it's not so great, it you really feel it. But I'm the same. When this all happened, we had to sort of change our working structure a bit. So running two businesses from home, it was like, well, you work half the day and I'll do the homeschooling, and then I'll work the other half of the day and you do the homeschooling, and as best you can. But like you, I think it makes you go, well, do you know what, if I can condense my essential work into 50% of the time I usually give it, what am I doing the rest of the time? And do I really need to work myself so hard all the time? I think it is a bit of an awakening. And yeah, I think going out for walks has been so beneficial. Just give me half an hour on my own, I'm off. I put an audio book or a podcast on, go for a walk.
Oh God, you go on your own, excellent. Maybe that's what I should start demanding. Yeah.
That's it, just half an hour. If you can just get half an hour, it's so good for the mind. And there's been times where I've been, you know, quite overwhelmed or overloaded, and just taking that half an hour to myself and then all zen again. And thank you so much for joining us to have a chat here on the Sleep Talking series. It's been really lovely to talk with you.
Thanks for having me. Cheers, Lucy.
Thanks for tuning in for this episode. We hope you found it insightful, and we invite you to connect with us via our website, thesleepnanny.com. Join us for more tips on the Sleep Nanny podcast, and look out for another episode of Sleep Talking.